Okay, starting from the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now discusses the line in the Mishnah which says Shotcha l'tzarcha avlul l'kavodo. So the person who found a garment, his requirement is that he spreads it out for its benefit, but not for his covered for his honor, for his adornment, and specifically refers to the adornment of his own house, to have some type of benefit in adorning his house with the garment. The Gemara asks, "I boyulahu." They asked in the base medrash, it was asked to them, what about letzarcho letzarcho mai? For his benefit and for its benefit, mai, what's the din? In other words, what would be the halacha if you have both intentions in mind? I'm spreading it out to aerate it for its benefit, but at the same time, it's also nice for my house. It's beneficial for my house. Can I do that? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. Let's look at the language of the Mishnah itself. It says, Shotcha letzorcha. Shotcha letzorcha. He has to spread it out for its benefit, for the benefit of the garment, implying letzorcha for its benefit in, yes, ha letzorcha, but for his benefit, uletzorcha, and its benefit, lo. No, you can't do that. It was the specificity of only the tzarcha implies that anything short of that is forbidden. Asks the Gemara though, Eima Sefer. So I will quote the second part of the statement in the Mishnah. Eima Sefer, I will say the Sefer, the end of the statement in the Mishnah, where it says, Aval lo lekavodo. The Mishnah says, but he may not do it for his own honor. Lekavodo hu delo, the Gemara says, for his own honor he may not do that. Ha, but letzarcha, for its benefit, letzarcho, and his benefit, shapir domi. Shapir domi is an expression which means it's good, everything, it's fine. He's allowed to. So, depending on the context, so over here, it means It's all well and good. It's fine to do that. The implication is only l'kvodo, he can't do it, but if it would be for both intentions in mind, for its benefit as well as for his benefit, everything would be fine. You could do that. So, essentially, there's an internal contradiction between the implications of the two parts of the statement in the Mishnah. Letzarcha for its benefit, when the Mishnah says letzarcha for its benefit, excludes for its benefit and his benefit. And then l'kvodo, for his honor, excludes for his honor and its benefit, which is contradictory. So therefore, the end result is, says the Gemara, ella, rather, maha, from this, from the language of the Mishnah, leka l'mishma mina, there is not to imply from it. There is not l'mishma to imply mina from it. Can't prove anything from the implications of the Mishnah. So the Gemara then attempts to prove it from a brisa. Toshma, come in here. Lo yishatchena, lo al gabi mita, v'lo al gabi mogod. He may not spread it out, neither on top of a bed, nor on top of a peg, l'tzorcho, for its own benefit. Avol yishatchena, but he may spread it out, al gabi mita, v'al gabi Mogod letzorcha, for its benefit. Nizdamnu lo orchim, if there happened to him, nizdamnu means to happen, to perchance, there happened to him orchim, which means orchim are guests, so guests happened to visit him. So now lo yishatchenu, he shouldn't spread it, lo al gabi mita, neither on the bed, for lo al gabe mogod, nor on the peg. So bein letzarcho, whether for his needs or for the garment's needs. So you see from this that Rashi says nizdamnu lo orchim, the chance to him, chance upon him or to him, guests kasalka daitach kusamad dalad kasalka daitach. It comes up in your mind. In other words, the notion at this point is, taima, the reason is mishum de mischabed behem, because that he is honoring himself through them, meaning that his home will be honored by these nice garments spread out for his guests. And there is over here for its needs, for the needs of the garment, and also for his needs, for his benefit as well. So you see from this brisa, that if you have this dual purpose in mind, it's asa. The Gemara responds, is not a proof. Sha'ani hosam, it's different over there. And the reason is, the mikla kali la. Now, the mikla kali means to burn. So literally this means that it he surely burns it. He surely burns it. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, Shani Hasim, it's different there, the Kakalila, B'shticha Zu, with this spreading. He's, B'shticha Zu, Sarfa, with this spreading, he is burning it, the garment. Now, Umahu Sarifa, so what is its burning? So Rashi is leading into the next part. What is the burning of it? How is the garments being burned by spreading it out? The Gemara continues and says, Imishum Ina, Imishum Ganve. Either because of Ina is I, and I is referring to Ayin Hara, evil eye, or because of Ganve, thieves, to be stolen. Rashi says, Imishum Ina, either because of Ina, because of the eye, Shatishlot Ba Ayin Ra, that the Ayin Hara has power over it. Shal Orchim, of the guests. In other words, the guests' eyes are going to look at these nice garments, these fancy drapes and garments, and have an Ayin Hara, and that's going to have a negative effect upon them. It's the concept of Ayin Hara, where Ayin Hara can have a detrimental effect to people's possessions. So either because of that reason, or Imishun Ganvei, Rashi says, Pen Yignavuha Horochim, lest the guests steal it. So for the protection of the garment, that's why he shouldn't be spreading them out in full view of people to honor his home, and thereby be an invitation to the guests to either have an Ayin Hara against it or to potentially steal it. So that's also not a sufficient proof to our dilemma. The Gemara continues and brings another braisa to prove the point. Toshima, come in here. Hechnisa l'rivka. He brought it into a harness. Now, Rivka is a harness. Now, what this is referring to is the halacha pertaining to what's called an egla arufa. An egla arufa. Egla is a calf, a female calf. Arufa means decapitated. So, there's a halacha in the Torah and Devarim which discusses a case of a corpse found outside the city. And in a field somewhere outside the city, and it's not known who caused the death of this individual. So the Torah says that what they do is they have to measure the distance. If you can look this up, it's in Devarim 21 verses chapter 21 verses 1-9. And what they do is the elders of the Sanhedrin come out to this murdered individual. They measure the distance to the surrounding cities to determine the closest city to the deceased. And from that city, they bring a female calf, they bring it out to a valley near where the corpse is, and they decapitate the calf, they cut off the head of the calf. Fascinating and interesting halacha, but again, look in Devarim 21, verses 1-9 over there. And one of the halachas, though, which really, one of the conditions of an egla arufa is that no work should be done with it. It has to be a calf which has never had any work done with it. So here the Braisa tells us, hechnisa l'rivka, if the owner of the calf, of the egla, put it into a harness, together with, let's just look at Rashi over here, the knisa Rivka be'egla arufa koi, with an egla arufa. This brisa is dealing. Koi means dealing. Egla kaf, arufa decapitated. Koi it's dealing with. Rivka is kupla balaz. If you know French, then the word kufla means a harness. I don't know French. I looked it up. Means a harness. Shemadabkim shalish behemos arba, but savarehen, that they attach zu etzel zu, that they attach medabkin, they attach from the word devek, which means glue. They attach three behemoth, three animals, or arba, or four, but savarehen, with their necks, over their necks, on their necks. But savar is neck, on their necks, in their with their necks. Zu etzel zu, this one beside this one. Vidoshim hadisha, and they thresh the threshing. In other words, the purpose of why he's doing this is he has these animals threshing, doing threshing some grain, and this Egla Arufa is being introduced to the group, and is now going to be threshing. Now, the commentaries explain that the primary purpose in the Brayso over here, the primary purpose as to why he's bringing the Egla Arufa in over here is not deliberately in order to thresh, but to actually suckle from its mother. So, with that in mind, the Brayso continues, Vidosha. And Vidosha, and this Egla Arufa now threshes. It's threshing, but it wasn't brought in there primarily for that purpose. Nonetheless, the Brayso declares, Keshera. It's still kosher. It can still be used kosher. It's still kosher for an Egla Arufa. Rashi says, Hol velo nischavin l'shetadush. Since velo nischavin, he didn't intend, the owner didn't intend, shetadush, that it should thresh. However, the Brayso continues, Bishvil shetinak, in order that it should suckle, tinak is to suckle, shetinak, that it should suckle, v'tidosh, and also thresh, two purposes in mind, pesula, it's no good. Rashi says, v'im bishvil shetinak v'tidosh, in order for it to suckle and to thresh, shahayasa ima dosha, that its mother was threshing, v'hichnis es habas, and he brought in the daughter, l'shem shetinak. L'shem means for the name of, literally, for the name of shetinak, that it should suckle. So l'shem means in the name of, or for the purpose, shetinak, that it should suckle. V'yaf niskavein, and even he's intending shetidosh, or also he's intending that it should thresh, psula, it's invalid. Having intention for both purposes makes it invalid. And this is what the Gemara says. For hahocha, and behold here, this example is, it's for his benefit, and also for its benefit. His benefit meaning that the threshing of the grain is going to be for his benefit, for the owner's benefit, and it's also for the animal's benefit. The suckling is for the animal's benefit. The katani, and the Brayso teaches psula, that it's invalid. So it seems to be a good proof for our discussion about the garment being laid out or spread out for both the shomer's benefit, the one who's watching it, for his benefit, his house should be adorned, and the owner's benefit, that his garment should be protected. So and you can't do that. You can't have that dual purpose in mind. The Gemara responds and says it's also not a proof. Sh'ani hosam, it's different over there. The Amakra, that the verse said, Asher lo ubad ba. That lo ubad ba. No work is done with it. Ubad is from the word avodah. So the verse says explicitly that no work can be done with it. So, and then the Gemara says, Mikol, the mem is Mikol Mokum, whatsoever. Mikol Mokum, whatsoever. That's what it means over here. It means whatsoever. In other words, no work may ever be done with it. The reason why this is possible is because he's working with it. He's doing the disha. He's doing the threshing. No work may be done with it whatsoever. So right away the Gemara says, well, so how about the first part, the first scenario? If so, afila reisha nami, even the first example, the first scenario also, where we said he just brought it in to suckle without the intention to thresh, but nonetheless, we said it's still threshing anyway. It's still threshing along with the mother. So he said it's kosher nonetheless. So how about the fact that it can't do any work? It's working. The Gemara responds and says, "Halo damya, halo damya elalaha." ha, this case, this halacha of egla rufa is lo damya, is not similar, ella, except laha, to this following case in the following Mishnah. So we're going to explain now that this example of the halacha of the egla rufa is altogether a unique halacha, which is more similar to the halacha which will be described in this Mishnah. And then it's not going to be at all a source for our shayla about the spreading out of the garment. So what is it similar to? What is it more similar to? It's similar to this following Mishnah, the Tanan that we learned in the Mishnah. Shochein aleha of. Now this Mishnah is discussing not an egla rufa, but a para aduma, a red heifer. So the Mishnah says, shochein aleha of, if a bird descended or rested upon on the back of the para aduma, of the red heifer, kashira, it's kosher. So Rashi says, shochen aleha of, but para aduma koi, regarding a para aduma, it's dealing, koi, dealing with. So the background of this is that one of the halachas, one major halachas about a para aduma, a red heifer, is no yoke can never have been placed upon the para aduma. It's a pasuk. This is found in Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 19 verse 2. So it says that no yoke can ever have been placed upon the back of a para aduma. So the shaila is, what happens if a bird lands on it? A bird rests on it. That's not a yoke. That's kashera. But Allah aleha zohar pesula. If a male went up upon it, then it is possible. Rashi says, Allah aleha zohar, a male went up upon it, psula shenema, as it says, ashalo Allah aleha ol, that no yoke has ever gone up upon it. Ashalo Allah, that did not go up, aleha upon it, ol, a yoke. V'tanya, and we learn in the Braisa, Ein li ela ol. Literally, there is not to me ela ol, except a yoke, v'chulei, etc. But Mesechus Sota, in Mesechus Sota, this brisa is in Tractate Sota, where it discusses what exactly is considered an ol, a yoke, which would invalidate the red heifer. So the brisa says that there isn't to me except a yoke. How do I know? I mean, the typical style of this language is that the Brice would go on and say, how do I know that these other items are also Asa? And then typically the Brice will say, because there's a verse which says X, Y, or Z. But the point we're bringing out over here is that even the Zohar, the male, going up upon the female, that's considered an ol as well. It falls into the category of the yoke, which would invalidate the paraduma from being kosher. So Rashi continues, Vahai, and in this case, in our example of the Egla Arufa, of the decapitated calf, Hechnisa L'Rivka, he brought it into the harness, V'dosha, and he threshed with it, T'lo Nichalei Ba, that he wasn't satisfied, he wasn't pleased by it, meaning that he wasn't doing it for his own personal pleasure or benefit. So damya, that's similar l'shochin aleha ov. That's similar to the example of the red heifer where the bird just rested upon it. So what the Gemara is doing is drawing a parallel between the red heifer and the egla arufa, and saying that the example of the example of the red heifer where the bird just rests upon it, where there's no intent, there's no personal intent benefit involved in the, you know, which is derived from the bird resting upon the back of the red heifer. That's akin to the egla rufa being brought under the harness with no intention to thresh, and it just threshes anyway. So in the case of the red heifer, it's not called an ol. In the case of the egla rufa, it's not considered that he's working with it, he's getting benefit from it. Whereas the other case, or the other example of the red heifer, where the animal, where the male goes up upon it, there's a benefit to the owner that the red heifer is going to become impregnated and have offspring. So there's a benefit there, and that's akin to the example of the egla rufa, where he's bringing it in also to do disha, has having that intention to have the animal thresh the grain. So the Gemara is saying these two cases, these two examples, these two halachas are parallels of each other. Now, the Gemara is going to explain this further and say, having quoted the Mishnah, it says then says my timer, and what is the reason why? Why is it? Why if what's the reason for this distinction between in the red heifer example? I'm sorry. What's the reason for the distinction of the Egla Arufa? My time, what's the reason why? Could the Rav Papa, like that of Rav Papa, it's explained like that of Rav Papa. Domer Rav Papa, the Rav Papa said, Ik siv ubad. If the verse would have said ubad with regard to the Egla Arufa, ubad. Now, we did quote the verse before. The verse said, Asher lo uv. A few lines, Ashalo uvad ba, that no work is done with it, was done with it. So ikasiv ubad, meaning if it was written ubad with the vav, the karinan ubad, and we would read it ubad, so then hava amina, I would have said afilu memela, even automatically, any kind of work which was done without intention, automatically would fall under this restriction. It would be no good. Ve'ikasiv, and if it was written avad, the karinan avad, if it was written as avad, he did work, and we would read it as avad, he did work, hava amina, I would have said ad the avad ba ihu, literally until that he did with it, he avad ba, he did with it ihu, he. Ihu means he, referring to the owner, until the owner did work with it, meaning he intended to do the work with it. In other words, if the verse said that Ashelo Ovad, that he didn't do work with it, it would imply that he has to have intention to do work with it to make it possible. If it was said Ashelo Uvad with the Vav, and read and written with the Vav, read with the Vav, Ashelo Uvad, which is passive, no work was done with it, then that would imply also, even if he didn't intend to do work with it, it's just the work was done automatically. But it doesn't say either of those things, because in actuality, it's read as Asher lo uvad, but it's written as Asher lo avad. So it's written with the vav, but it's read as though the vav is not there. It's written as uvad, but it's written as Asher lo avad, that he didn't do work. And that's what generates this halacha, as we'll see. Hashta, now, the ksiv, that it's written, avad, it's written as avad, he did work for karinan, but we read it, and we read it as uvad, work was done passively. So here's the punchline, be'inon, we require uvad dumya de avad, we require, work was done, similar to that work, that he did work. There has to be a similarity between those two words. Meaning, or as follows, ma avad, just as when he does work with it, the nichalei, that he's pleased with it, he's content with it, af uvad, so even uvad, where work was done, the nichalei, that he was content with it. Meaning that the kind of work which would invalidate the Egla Arufa is only work which was done memela, but he was happy with it, he wanted it to be done. But work which was done with it, where he had no intention, there was no thought of it at all, but the work was done, that would not be the kind of work which would invalidate the red heifer, the Egla Arufa. So this whole halacha, the Egla Arufa, is a completely unique halacha, has no relevance at all to spreading out the garment, for the personal benefit and the benefit of the garment. This halacha is governed by this drasha of Asher lo uvad. So with regard to the shaila of spreading out the garment, that's still left as it's not proven one way or the other. So there's no answer to that. However, the Shulchan Aruch does discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch they do say they're stringent on the issue, ruling that the finder may not make use of the garment in this way whatsoever. Okay. So the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Kli kesef etzei nechoshes mishtamish behem. Silver vessels and copper vessels, he should use them. V'chule etc. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa. Hamotze klei kesef, klei eitz. Someone who finds wooden utensils, mishtamish behem. he should use them. Bishvil shelo yurkavu, in order that they shouldn't rot. Yurkavu, to rot. Klei nechoshes, copper utensils, mishtamish behem, he should use them. Bechamin, with hot dishes, to prepare hot dishes. Chamin is a hot. Avalo al yedei ha'or, but not, al yedei literally means through, ha'or, the fire, or is fire. Rashi explains, avalo al yedei ha'or, but not through the fire, explains, lo yitein a kli, he shouldn't put the clay, place the clay, al ha'or, on the fire. And the previous Rashi, which I skipped, says, mishtamish behem b'chamin, you're allowed to use them with hot dishes, the kol shekein, and all the more so, but sonein, with cold dishes. So, but on the fire, you shouldn't put the copper utensils on the fire. The Gemara explains, mipnei shemaschikon, because that it wears them down. Sochak is to wear down. So maschikon, it wears them out, wears them. The non ending is them, because it wears them out. Klei kesef, silver utensils, mishtamish behem betzone. He should only use them with cold dishes. Avalo b'chamin, but not with hot dishes. And the reason for that, the Gemara says, is mishnei mashchiron. And that's from the word shochor, which means black, because the heat blackens them. Magrifos, the kardumos. Magrifos are shovels, and kardumos are hatchets. And Rashi explains, magrifos brings first of all, a French word, vaidilush, whatever that is. Asuyin, they're made ligrov, to shovel. Hakiros, the ovens. Or lahafresh, or to separate apart, to enim, figs, hamadubokim, which are attached to each other. So those types of utensils, the Gemara says, mishtamish behem barach, may only be used with rach, with soft objects. Rach is soft. Avalo bakasha, but not with hard objects, kosher, b'pnei, because shemafchison, because they will, or causes them to become flawed or damaged. Pochas, I think, is the root. Pochas is the root, and I think it just means from the word pochas, to lessen, poches, to lessen. Rashi explains shemafchison pogmon, it damages them. Pogam is a flaw or blemish, damages them. Gemara continues, clay zahav, gold vessels, or clay zuchuchis, and glass vessels, lo yiga behem, do not touch them, he shouldn't touch them. Lo yiga, he shouldn't touch behem them, ad shiyavo Eliyahu, until Eliyahu comes. Kederech sha'amru ba'aveda, in the same way that they said this about an aveda, they said these guidelines by an aveda, by a lost article, kach amru, they also said it, but pikadon, regarding a pikadon, a deposit in the hands of a custodian. So asks the Gemara, pikadon, it says it about, they say the same thing by a pikadon, by a deposit, my avidite gabe, what is his business with it? My avidite, what is his business? What is he doing gabe with it? Meaning, a pikadon, there's no need to be taking care of it. If I'm going to work and I say to you, look after my pen or look after my bike or whatever it is, there's no necessity for the shomer to be taking care of the object. You just look after it and that's it. So the Gemara answers, Rashi says, my avidite gabe, what is he doing with it? What is his business with it? Ma lo lehishtamish bo, what to him to use it? Why is he using it? Why does he need to use it? Yavo ba'alov, let its owners come, v'yishtamish bo, and use it, and take care of it. The Ran says, Omer Ravada bar Chama said, Omer Rav, in the name of Rav Sheshes, but pikadon, we're talking about a pikadon, a deposit, shahocha ba'alehem, where the owners have gone, l'medinas hayam, literally to a locale, across the sea, to a city or place across the sea. They've gone a far distance, and in that situation, yes, the shomer would have an obligation to take care of it, like he's taking care of an aveda. So the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Motza sak or kupa, he found a sack or bag or something, or a kupa or a box. V'kol dava she'ein darko, and anything that it's not his way, lito. It's not his way, meaning it would not be the kind of object that he would go out of his way to retrieve because it would be beneath his dignity, something he wouldn't go outside to go and find and take for someone. She'ein darko, that is not his way, litol, to take. Harizel lo yitol, behold, in this case, lo yitol, he may not, or he need not take it. Asks the Gemara, minnahani mile. Minnahani mile, from where mile are these words? It's an expression, minnahani mile, from where are these words? The Gemara answers, the Tana Rabbanan, that we learned in the Braisa. And the Braisa right away quotes a pasuk, v'hisalamto, and you may hide your eyes from them. Now look at hopefully on your page you have look it up. It's in Devarim 22 verse 1, the parsha of Hashavah Zaveda, and some of the editions of the Gemara. It's up there on the right hand side. It's under the section called Torah or Hasholim, where the Psukim are quoted. And it's Beis. Losira Eshur Achicha, do not look at the ox of your brother, or Seyo, or his sheep. The Dochim straying. V'hisalamto mehem, and hide yourself from them. V'hisalamto mehem, and hide yourself from them. Instead, Hoshev Teshivim Lachicha, surely return them to your brother. So this is the pasuk of Hashavah Zaveda. And that's the Pshat. However, since the two words, V'hisalamto mehem, and hide yourself from them, are said in a more positive sense, so we can darshan this, this is a remez, an allusion to situations where you may positively hide yourself from them, and that's what the Brisa is discussing. So again, the Brisa says, "Nohani mili," from where these words from the Tanna Rabban, we learned in the Brisa, "Behislamto," and hide yourself from them. In a positive sense, you may hide yourself from them. That's what the pasuk is alluding to. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, pa'amim, sometimes she'ata misalim. Sometimes you may hide yourself. U'pa'amim she'i'ata misalim. And sometimes that you may not. E is a negative. I'ata, you may not misalim, hide yourself from them. So the Braisa says, ha'ketzad, how so? What situations are you allowed to hide yourself? So the Braisa says, ha'ya kohen, he was a kohen. V'hi bebeis hakavoris, and it, the aved, the lost article, is in a cemetery, a beis kavoris cemetery. So he's a kohen, and the article is in a beis hakavoris. Rashi says, I skipped a couple of Rashis over here. Rashi says, v'hislamto mehem, and hide yourself from them, ulelamedocho ba, and to teach you, it comes, shumutar, that it's permissible, lehis alem, to hide yourself from them. Pa'amim shi'yata misalim, sometimes you may not hide yourself. Diksiv, as it says in the verse, not quoted over here on the in our edition over here on the Gemara, but in the pasuk obviously says it, lo suchal lihisalim, you may not hide yourself from the object. In other words, that's clearly unequivocally a negative. You may not hide yourself from the object. But again, the positive sense of hislamtum, you may hide yourself, is teaching us there are some times when you're allowed to hide yourself. And the first example the Braisa gave is a kohen, and the object is in a cemetery. So Rashi says, v'hi bebeis hakavoris, and it's in a cemetery. Ha'aveda, the lost article, bebeis hakavoris, is in the cemetery. So in that situation, kohen can't go in to take it because he can't become tameh, can't become ritually defiled by being in the vicinity of the graves and the corpses. That's example number one. The Braisa continues, that he was an elder. Now, I think we said when we learned this on the Mishnah, I said it was a Talmud Chacham. Others explain also that it refers to an elderly individual. So the word Zokin does literally mean an elderly. So it could either mean an elderly in wisdom, as a Talmud Chacham, or elderly in age and years, an elderly person. In any event, a Zokain, Ve'ena lefi kavod, and it's not according to his dignity. It would not be according to his dignity. Rashi says, ve'ena lefi kavodo, and it's not according to his honor or dignity, sheyeshiveno, that he should return it. It would be, for example, let's say something is in the trash, something is in a very in the trash in a dirty place. It would not be honorable for such a person to be rummaging around in the dirty places to retrieve a lost object. So that would be an exemption. And the third example the Braisa gives is Shahaisa malacha shalo maruba mishal chaveiro, or that literally his malacha, his work, malacha shalo, his work is maruba, is greater, maruba is more or greater, mishal chaveiro, than that of his friend. So this is referring to where that if the retrieval of the lost object would cost the finder more money by losing work, by losing time at work, it's going to cost him more money than the value of the object, the lost object itself, he'd be exempt from doing Hashavas Aveda. Now Rashi has a slightly different girsa, a slightly different text in our Gemara. So I'll read the Rashi over here. Bottle memalacha shalo. Now the word bottle is not used by our Gemara, but the word bottle means to be idle. Idle, or shahaya bottle malacha shalo, or that he was bottle idle from his malacha, idle from his work, shivatol, that he'd be idle, that him being idle, bashavasa, in its return is maruba, is of greater loss or value, al demei haveda, on the amount or the value of the lost article. So that would also be an exemption. He wouldn't have to suffer the financial loss to go and retrieve this person's lost object. So that's the end of the Braisa. The Braisa concludes. Lekach, therefore, Nemar, it therefore says, v'hislamta mehem, and you may hide yourself from them. The allusion, the remez of you may hide yourself from them, even though the pshat of the pasuk, as I explained before, is don't look at the person's object and hide yourself. But the positive sense, again, implies there are positive situations where you're allowed to hide yourself. That's the end of the braisa. The Gemara now comments. Lemai itzrich kro. For which one is the verse needed? In other words, we've given three examples. Kohen, Zokain, and Malacha. In the case of work being more of a loss. The Gemara says, Lemai itzrich kro. For which one is the verse needed? In other words, which one really is the verse necessary for? The reason is because Ilema, if you say that the verse is necessary, Lekohain, for the Kohain case, Vehiba Besa Kavaris, and the object, the Aveda, is in the cemetery. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. That's obvious. We don't need the verse of a Hislamta to teach you that the Kohain is not allowed to go into the cemetery to retrieve the lost object. And the reason is because Hai Asay. Vahai losasei vaasei. This one, this obligation of Hashavas Aveda, is purely an asei, a positive commandment. Vahai, and this obligation of not becoming tamei, ritually impure, is a losasei vaasei, is a negative commandment plus a positive commandment. And the rule is, the Gemara says, v'lo asi asei v'dochi es losasei vaasei. And v'lo asi means it doesn't come. Asi is to come. V'lo asi asay, and an asay, a positive commandment, cannot come, does not come, v'dochi, and push aside, es lo sasay, a negative commandment, v'asay, and a positive commandment. Basically, the rule is, if you have a positive commandment in conflict with a commandment which has a positive and a negative commandment to it, then the rule is, the positive cannot push aside and supersede the positive and the negative. So, using our example, Hashavas Aveda is a positive commandment, return a lost object. Now, becoming ritually impure for the dead contains both a positive and a negative to it. Now, I'll read the very last Rashi on the page. I'll read first, and we'll come back to the one before that. Lo sasei va'asei, it's a negative and a positive. Le nefesh lo yitamo. To a corpse or to a dead person, he should not become impure. That's the negative side of it.
And the positive side of it is Kadoshim Yiyu, holy they shall be. Kohanim have to be holy. So they can't become ritually impure by contact with the corpse. And the positive is they have to maintain a state of holiness and Kedusha. It's a Nase and a Lo Sase. Whereas Hashavas Aveda, returning lost object, is only an Ase, a positive commandment. And the rule is the positive does not have the power to overpower a positive and negative, and therefore that itself is a rule which teaches us that the Kohen cannot go into the cemetery to retrieve the lost object. His Kedusha and his maintenance of Kedusha with not coming into contact with the corpse overrides his positive, his obligation to go and retrieve the lost object. Now let's go back to the previous Rashi. Hai Asay, this is a positive commandment, Hashavas Aveda. Hashav Tashivem, surely return them. So that we know. Now, Rashi says, V'afal Gavan, even though Delo Sasei Name, that there's also a negative commandment, Ika, there is. And even though the Lo Sase Nami Ika, that there's a negative commandment also there is. If you look in the pasuk, it says Lo Yochol Hisalem, that one is not allowed to ignore the lost article. So it's a negative commandment. I think it's in verse 2 or 3 of that parasha. It says one may not ignore the lost articles. That's a negative commandment. So what's the Gemara saying, that Hashavas Aveda is only an assay? It's an assay and a loose assay. So Rashi explains, V'afal gav de lo sase nami ikka, even though there's a negative commandment, also there is, but ein lo sase moel, the negative commandment does not help, lidchos, to push aside a lo sase, a negative commandment. In other words, it doesn't factor in. The negative commandment of Hashavas Aveda is not a factor in pushing aside anything else. Ella, rather, Asehu. It's the positive part of it, the positive commandment, the Kedoch Yileh, that pushes it aside. Kedamrin b'Yavamos, like we say in Masechta Yavamos. And there's the principle of an Asay. What he's alluding to is, the Gemara does say there in Yavamos that an assay, a positive commandment, does push aside a negative commandment. What that means practically we can discuss when we get together, but an assay does push aside a negative commandment by itself, but it does not push aside a positive and a negative. The power to push aside is only the assay. A los assay does not push aside. So that's why the Gemara says, it doesn't even discuss the Los Asay of Hashavas Aveda. It's not relevant to the discussion, because it's only the Asay of Hashavas Aveda which is relevant for pushing aside anything. And the Gemara is saying that it may be true that an Asay can push aside a negative commandment by itself, but it cannot push aside a commandment which has an Asay and a Los Asay in it. And that's our example here.
And then the Gemara gives even a second answer, Vesu, and moreover, furthermore, Lo Dachinon Isura Mikame Mimona. We do not push aside Isura. Isura is the word Isura, forbidden, and it refers to prohibitory law. We don't push aside prohibitory law, Mikame, in the face of Mimona, monetary considerations, or on account of monetary considerations. We don't push aside prohibitory law, and in this example, we don't push aside the prohibitory law of Kohen becoming Tomei, impure, and by going to the cemetery, on account of the monetary considerations of a Hashavas Aveda. That's a principle. That's a general principle of in halacha in general, that prohibitory law is not pushed aside on account of monetary considerations. Interesting discussion point. So therefore, the Gemara then says, so then what is the pasuk of Vesit Lamta for? Ella, rather, L'shalo meruba mishal chaveiro. Rather, it is for the second example in the Braisa, the second example of where the person's loss of money is greater than the value of the article he's trying to save. So maybe that's what it's for, that he's not obligated to lose that amount of money to save this person's article. So the Gemara says, no, Midrav Yehuda amarav nafka. That's also not a sufficient answer, because from that of Rav Yehuda Merav Nafka, from the statement of Yehuda Merav, we can derive that. Amar of Yehuda Merav, that Rav Yehuda Merav said, he quotes a pasuk, Efes ki lo yia b'cha avyon. Now there's a pasuk in Devarim, it's the last on the 38, the last pasuk quoted over there on the right hand side, Efes ki lo yia b'cha avyon. But Efes ki, you know, could be translated as but. Lo yia b'cha, there should not be among you or in you avyon, a destitute individual. So the pasuk continues on and says, I'm just going to read the rest of the pasuk. Ki baruch yivarechecha Hashem ba'aretz, that Hashem will surely bless you in the land. That Hashem lekech noisen lecha, that God is giving to you nachla as an inheritance, lirishta, to inherit it, to take possession of it. But the first part of the pasuk is saying, "Efes ki lo yia b'cha avyon," but there should not be a destitute person among you. Rashi says on the second side, "Lo savi atzmocha lidei anius," do not bring yourself to the hand of poverty. So the pasuk is saying that you shouldn't allow yourself to become poor. And the Gemara comments now on the top line, so Shalcha kodem l'shalkol adam, that yours takes precedence, comes before that of other people, of all people, meaning your own financial security should come first before that of other people's financial security. And that's the point of the pasuk, that it goes with, you don't need the Hislamta to teach you that this person shouldn't be giving up his money to save someone else's money if it's going to cause him a loss. So there's no requirement to do that from this pasuk, so you don't need the Hislamta for that. So therefore the Gemara says, Ela lezokein v'ena lefi kvoda, rather the Hislamta is necessary for the third example of zokein v'ena lefi kvoda, an elder, and it's not according to his dignity to go and rummage around to find the lost article. And that's really what the Gemara is concluding over here, and saying that the primary example of a Hislamta, primary application of a Hislamta, is for this situation over here. So even though the other examples, you know, can be bolstered by the pasuk of a Hislamta, the main reasons for the other examples, the first two examples, is for the reasons the Gemara just gave, and the Hislamta can also bolster that as well. But the primary target of the Hislamta is for this example here of Zokin and the Inalafika voter.